Now, those songs, each one had a meaning to them. I wanted each one of them to minister to you in a special way, and I hope that they did. I couldn't get a song. I don't know what God's doing right now. I really don't. I couldn't get a song service together till late this afternoon. I was so excited I got it together. I said, there you go. Got it all together. And I printed my copy out, and I forgot about you all, guys. I was just thrilled to have a song service. Put together three sermons, and not a one of them's going to go. I don't know what God is doing. We all know that Billy Graham passed away this morning, and we know that in 2012, it was prophesied that when Oral Roberts and Billy Graham passed away, that the great revival would break out. But when Billy Graham passed away, grace would be lifted off of the church. Now, for 3 days, I've been in a tizzy. I really can't get myself settled down to do anything. I try to concentrate. I can't concentrate. And I'm trying to study. Can't study. And just go up and walk around and do absolutely nothing. So I don't know what God is doing right now. And I've been seeking his face for the past 2 days trying to find out. And I haven't found out anything yet. But I do know the body of Christ is in a danger zone right now. I know God's been telling this church that to get yourself ready, because he was going to pull his grace. And I do know that one point not too long ago, he said he'd already lifted his grace off of the church. So I don't know what God is doing. Only God knows that. And I bet if I was each one of you, I would really be walking my walk each and every day with fear and trembling. And God did say he was going to bring fear of the Lord back into the house of God. Just recently he said that through somebody. But I don't see that yet. I don't see the fear of God in the house of God yet. I still see people still playing games and still think that they have just, and I don't know why, but the other night I was laying in bed and I was thinking about all this, and all of a sudden I thought about Samson. Samson, his strength was in his hair, and he would sin, and he would go to bed as prostitutes, and he'd get up and shake his head, and he still had his strength. And one day he got up and shook his head, he had no strength. He was finished. And then he became a prisoner of Satan's. So I don't know why. I really believe that God showed me that, to show me that this is what's happened in the body of Christ. A lot of people's going to stand up and shake themselves, thinking that they still have the anointing, and it's not going to be there. That they just prayed around one day too long, 1 hour too long, 1 second too long, and the anointing's not going to be there anymore. So, each one of us have to sit, and each one of us know where we're at. Each one of us know if we've obeyed God or have not obeyed God. Each one of us know that we're doing the things God's calling us forth to do or not. And with this fast that God, the call, Lou Engle has called for 40 days for the entire church to go on. A true fast is nothing but water. But like I was talking to Brother Chris and Larry today, in the Bible days, people weren't sickly. 40 years ago, the sicknesses weren't in the earth. It's in the earth now. And so, if you have to go on a Daniel fast, go on a Daniel fast. But whatever you do, fast. And if you're going on a complete fast like Jesus did, nothing but water, you can't drink milk either, because milk is, I read where they consider milk as a diet. If you're just doing nothing but drinking milk, it's a diet. Or just drinking coffee, it's a diet. So, don't fool yourself, if you're going to fast. Choose the fast you're going to do, and then do it, and do it with every fiber of your being. I did also read somewhere just yesterday that if you've never fasted in your life, or if you've been a heavy eater, what you can do is, for maybe a week, each day cut down on your food. Just don't do crash thing. Don't send your body into a tizzy by just all of a sudden quit eating. Now I can just see some wheels just a clicking. Quit making excuses. You've gone 2 days, you can keep on going, right? And I'm just saying for those, that are having problems, that whatever you do, fast unto the Lord. Isn't it amazing how much you rely on food? It's amazing how much you rely on food. And I was sitting the other day thinking about this, and because of what different people have asked me, and, you know, how would you like to be the man that God told him all you could do was drink water and eat crackers all the days of your life? You know, he's not asking you to do that. He's just asking you to do something for 40 days, right? And the other thing, like Sister Elaine said, you visit the bathroom quite often. Whenever you fast, you're cleansing your system. I knew a lady I worked with years ago when I was working, and she was on the heavy side, and she wanted to lose weight, so her doctor put her on a fasting diet. She fasted 2 days and ate, you know, and she lost a lot of all her weight, really, that way. But we aren't thinking about this as losing weight now. I don't want you to get your mind on that. We're doing this because God has called us together as a corporate body to fast so that he can bring his glory on America and change America into the great country that he wants it to be. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you that you are with us tonight and you are doing a different and a complete and a mighty works. And Father, I just give you all the honor and all the glory for everything you do here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I was also reading something today where, you know, pastors aren't really teaching the Bible. They're teaching prosperity. And like I told you all, you know, when God told me to quit my job years ago, he said my paycheck will be more than the world's. Well, I don't get a paycheck at all ever since I quit my job. But still in all, you know what God's paycheck is? It is better than the world's because it's souls. You know, we're in here to win souls. It's not about money. You know, and I read an article about a famous pastor in the prosperity message, and I was totally shocked at one of the relatives of the family said about the whole thing, about what they did and everything. And, you know, we have to be very watchful of that. We aren't in this for money at all, period. We aren't in it to see how big a house we can have or how many jets we can have or how many cars we can have. That's not what we're in this for. We're in this to save souls, right? And we're also in it to be a light, right? A light in a dark, dark world. All right, you know, it's just so say you're living in the basement of a church and everybody's saying, well, what's this great God that you're serving? That's the kind of God I serve. He might put me in the basement for a while. You know what I'm saying? And don't let them, you know, talk you out of serving your God. We don't, you know, God is awesome and he's unique and he's different. And we don't understand the ways of God at all. We really don't. And so let's quit trying to pretend like we do understand what he's doing. This is what God's called me to do. And this is what I'm doing. And I'm doing it as unto the Lord, not as unto you. I'm not trying to here to satisfy you. I'm here to satisfy the Father. Some of you are going to be asked to do things that are going to be way out there, because God's doing way out things right now. And, you know, when he asks you to do them, just say, yes, Lord, with a smile on your face, and just go ahead and do them. And just, it doesn't matter how they turn out in your eyes, as long as they turn out right in the eyes of the Father. All right? I just have a hard time right now with the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is so split and so divided. You know, and they're nobody's trying to work together. Everybody's, you know, wants their own little plot aground, you know, and their own little icon or whatever you want to call it. And that's not pleasing to the Father. I'm going to read an article somebody wrote here. But I want you to be careful about church hopping. I want you to be careful that you just aren't going places where God doesn't want you to go. I don't care where you go, but just make sure wherever you go, it's where God is leading you. Because sometimes we just go because somebody says it's so, or sometimes we go because the family's comfortable there, and it's really not where God wants you to be, and you're never going to be blessed by God. All right? All right, this word is about God is raising up temple cleansers and idol smashers in this hour. A few years ago, the Lord sent me on an adventure through the books of Kings, and he started speaking to me about the rise of Josiah's mandate. Though the original post was published in April 2016, God has had me revisit this and release this word. I remember when God showed me revelation about King Josiah and what he did during his reign. I believe this is a timely word for the hour we are in as a nation, as he raises up temple cleansers and idol smashers. And the reason why I'm reading, well, my three messages I got together just weren't going to go anywhere. They were really good. I spent many hours doing it. But when I read this, this hit me. This hit my spirit, because this is where God is at. All right. I worked a long time on a message, I titled Rivers of Living Water, you know. And when I got all done with it, I said, gee, that's really good. And God said, but it's redundant. How many times are you going to teach these same people that they need to have rivers of living water flowing out of them? He said, they haven't done anything with it yet. What's another teaching going to do? That just burst my bubble all to pieces, because I worked really hard getting that together. And isn't that the truth, though? How many times have you heard the same message over and over and over again, and yet you have not put it to use in your life? And it just lays around dormant and doesn't change you in any way, shape, or form. Now, if we really had rivers of living water in us, we would have power and we would have authority. And when people walk through those doors, that power and that authority would hit them and they would be changed, right? Now, that doesn't mean they'll be changed forever, because we know people do get changed for the hour they're here and walk out the door, and the next time you see them, they're as messed up as they were, you know, that whenever they left the last time. But see, what God wants us to do is to be changed, stay changed. And he wants us to be people full of power and authority that he could just, we could go, and it doesn't matter where we go, it just manifests itself. That power and that authority in people's lives are changed forever. How many of you in here that come here all the time, aren't you tired of looking at the same faces doing the same thing? They're never changing. They're just the same faces. And you ever notice about the time, you know, somebody gets, God get really is working on somebody and gets them, starts getting really changed. Somebody drags them to another church. They come back here all messed up all over again. You know, you really have to watch. You really have to watch where you. I don't care where you go, like I say, but if somebody's going to drag you somewhere, make sure that they drag you back into the Spirit. You know, Spirit-filled church, and that they're walking in the Spirit and doing the thing that God is calling you forth to do. All right, so I believe that this is a timely word for the hour we are in as a nation, as He raises up temple cleansers and idol smashers. Before Josiah came on the scene, he had hundreds of years of idolatry. Now look at this. He had hundreds of years of idolatry as his heritage and foundation. In other words, generational curses, all right? Most people with a pedigree like Josiah's would have counted themselves unqualified to answer the high call, but God sets his seal upon the unqualified, and he will not deny a repentant heart. All right, just so let's just say that your whole family's been drug addicts all their life, all your life. And so, you know, and so that's your pedigree, you know, your family. You've been raised with a drug-addicted family. That does not disqualify you. Even if you get caught up in it, as long as you get uncaught, as long as you allow God to set you free and cleanse you, you're qualified to go forth and do the things that God is calling us forth to do. King Josiah was a revolutionary revivalist and reformer of his time, and his mandate is as relevant now as it was then. We are revivalists. Do you understand that, church? Any one of you sitting here tonight, you are a revivalist, and God wants to use you right now in this dispensation of time, right now, to go out there and cause revival to hit everybody you meet. Josiah cleanses the temple and smashes the idols. It was in the 18th year of Josiah's reign that this king embraced the mantle upon his life. It began with the order to repair the temple, an undertaking more prophetic than intended. Soon after repairs began, the high priest found the book of the law in the temple having been forgotten among the barrage of idols. So God has already called us to rebuild the temple. You guys sitting here, I don't care what you've been doing all your life, God is telling you to rebuild this temple of yours. He's telling you to get it clean from the inside out. He's telling you to change, to become holy, to become pure, and to have the power and authority of God ruling and reigning inside of your life. All right? I mean, I know we've been repainting in here, but that's just a building. He wants your temple rebuilt. He wants it changed. He wants it cleansed. Because what we were, God can't use. But what we are and are becoming is what he'll be able to use. All right, upon hearing the words of the book, you know, the book, the law, Josiah wasted no time in bringing an onslaught to the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of what? Darkness. He was relentless in his pursuit of tearing down strongholds so that God would be exalted. We have to be relentless in ourselves to tear down every stronghold of darkness that's in us. And so that God can be glorified through us, and it's a proper dwelling place for the Holy Spirit that God had to dwell in. I mean, you know, this is a problem. The body of Christ is just saying, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that's as far as they got. They never started cleansing this temple. You know, what did Jesus tell the Pharisees? You're clean on the outside, but on the inside you're dirty. And see, this is what the body of Christ is like. You know, we all walk around with nice, shiny faces on the outside, and we smile, and we say all the proper things, but what's going on the inside? All I read about anymore is perversion, 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 perversion. And all I read is about pornography and how men and women are caught up in pornography. Now, if we're really born again and really having Jesus Christ live inside of us, where is the power and authority to stop all this sin that's raging inside of our bodies? Are you listening to this? See, the problem is we are not acquainted with the Holy Spirit in his fullness, and therefore we don't have the power and authority in us to defeat the sin that keeps raging inside of us. And so you're going to have to start tearing down these idols inside so that you can go forth and minister to other people. As long as you're bound up, you are not going to be able to minister to people. And whatever area you're bound up in, that's the area you're going to avoid at all costs when you start ministering to people. All right, let's just say that you're into pornography and you meet somebody else that's into pornography and they gave their heart to God, but they're really fighting it. How are you going to help them fight it if you're fighting it yourself? Are you there? You understand what I'm saying? What if you beat your wife all the time and you're ministering to somebody and they see you, they cry, and I hit my wife and I don't mean to. How can I get out of this? How are you going to tell them how to get free from beating up their wife if you're doing that yourself? So see, we have to start tearing down those idols inside of us first before we can go forth. And when does that start? God's been dealing with us for years and years and years about this. When does it start? And when is it completed? Are you listening? Are you understanding this? We have to be changed. We can no longer stay the way we are. We can't. We just can't. You know, being a prophet and evangelist, when I was out evangelizing all the time, I went into a church and they brought all these, you know, they brought people into the church because they were holding the meetings. And I walked up to this one man, and he was sitting there, and he had this girl sitting beside him, and they had these four children, I think it was. And God said to me, they're living as man and wife, but that's the father and that's the daughter, and these are the children he's had with his own daughter. And he said, I'm very displeased with him. Now, see, I couldn't say that. Why couldn't I bring that up? They would have arrested me. I couldn't prove that. God just showed that to me. But I found out later by talking to one of the pastors, that's exactly what was going on. Now see, we shouldn't have to be afraid to go ahead I wasn't afraid, I just knew I wasn't supposed to tell it. You know, God said, this is for your information. But God did go on to speak to this man and tell him he was in deep sin. And he was going to have to pay dearly for the sin he was in. And he needed to get out of it. The man got very uncomfortable in his seat, and so did the young lady sitting beside him. And you could tell she was uncomfortable with him anyhow. But so God sowed a seed. Now, it was going to be up to him then to get it taken care of. And the pastors in the community knew it. I said, why aren't you guys ministering to this man? you're right here and you know him. Why aren't you ministering to him? Why aren't you trying to put a stop to this? Well, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do. Well, you know, I'm sorry, when you stand before God and you say that, that's not going to cut it. You're the ministers here. You're the ones that are supposed to be counseling these people. You're the ones supposed to be setting this young lady free, who I'm quite sure does not want to be in the shoes she's in. Are you understanding this? Come on. All right, then, I'm going to back up a little bit here. Soon after repairs began, the high priest found the book of the law in the temple, having been forgotten among the barrage of idols. The book of the law had been forgotten. Upon hearing the words of the book of the law that God wrote, Josiah wasted no time in bringing an onslaught to the kingdom of darkness. He was relentless in his pursuit of tearing down strongholds so that God would be exalted. To many, dethronement of false gods, having ruled for centuries in the land, would seem insurmountable, but no devil can outmatch God. Just like you might have a whole lot of devils inside of you, but you've been fighting and you don't know. You just say, I'll just never get set free. God is greater than any devil that's inside of you. God is greater than any piece of food you might desire. God is greater than any drug, alcohol, cigarette. You see what I'm saying? God is greater. If we would just put God on the throne instead of the idol, right? We would be able to be set free. One act of obedience can change the course of a nation and a generation. One act of obedience on your part to what God is asking you to do can change you and your entire family. It can change your community. It could even change your church. One act of obedience. Josiah understood that God did not tolerate misdirected worship. He removed pagan vessels from the holy temple. He deposed pagan priests, and he destroyed pagan altars and Asherah poles. He defiled the area dedicated to Moloch for child sacrifice. He destroyed. See, when I was typing this, God said, "This is what abortion's all about, right here." He destroyed altars erected by his own grandfather. He defiled high places of paganism that King Solomon had established. He removed the mediums, the neuromancers, household gods, and idols from his land. Josiah removed everything that was not of God that was around him. We have to do the very same identical thing. We have to remove everything that is not of all the idols. I don't, you know, anything you brought from overseas has been prayed over and is cursed. When people go overseas, they used to always bring me little trinkets and stuff, and I would say, thank you, but I don't receive those things because they're cursed. They're prayed over, they're cursed. If you have those type of things in your home, I would really seek God's face about getting rid of them because they're keeping you bound up. It's nice somebody brings you a gift, but do you want the curse that goes along with it? Are you seeing this? Do you know how... I've never been overseas, but you know, I know a lot of people that have, you know, over there, the Holy Land, wherever. Do you know how many shops are set up with all that stuff in there? And people just run in and buy because I want to take a gift home to somebody, and they never ask God, should I buy this? Is this a cursed thing? You know, are you listening here? We just go get it because the shop's there, and after all, the tour guide has you there, and the tour guide's going to take you exactly where he wants you to go, right? Come on. I mean, I just want you to think about this now. All right, then. Josiah reestablished the Passover feast, something that had not been done since the days of Judges in 2 Kings chapter 23. What had taken hundreds of years to erect came crashing down in a sliver of that time. Josiah just went through and cleaned house. Josiah not only confronted the false gods in his kingdom of Judah, but he brought the charge to the kingdom of Israel and assaulted the places of pagan worship. You know, he didn't do it in his own house. He went around and told his friends, you need to stop. All right? You know, so you know, we you're taught holiness. You're taught to do right and wrong. Now, just if you run across another friend of yours isn't taught that, and they're doing all kind of dumb stuff, it's your job to tell them, hey, you know, that's not right. And then point in the Bible. All right, for an example now. I was reading about this big ministry, and this nephew said, you know, everybody that was in that ministry was always taught prosperity, and you rode around in big jets and had Mercedes-Benz, and you had houses everywhere, and you got paid this fabulous pay just for being a catcher. I forgot what his pay was just for being a catcher. And then he met this girl he wanted to marry, and then if you didn't prophesy, I mean, if you didn't speak in tongues, you were not saved, all right? So he met this girl he wanted to marry, and she did not speak in tongues. So the head of this big ministry said, then she is not saved at all. So they took her to all these places, you know, spit in her face and da-da-do-do and rubbed her head, you know, just what I thought about. And she could not speak in tongues at all. And so finally she showed, you know, this young man in the Bible where it says, does everyone prophesy? Does everyone, you know, heal the sick, you know? And he, oh, okay. Then he got to studying that, realized, you know, what he had been taught all his life was wrong. All right. And then the head of this big ministry, the only way they would never pray for anybody individually, you know, and they wouldn't come to, let's just say, to your house and pray for you. If you weren't in a crusade or if you weren't at a revival, they would not pray for you. And so then he found out that she said, well, look here. And she read it, showed him a chapter in the Bible. I forgot where it was at now. But out of all the multitude, God only healed one person that day. One person out of all the multitude. That's all Jesus healed. So he found out that was a lie. And so as she showed him, you know, the different things in the Bible, but just breaking down everything he'd ever been taught. And then finally a pastor from another state called and asked if he would come and be a youth pastor. And so he went after them under, as him being his leader. He taught him the right word in the Bible. So how many people do you know that's been taught wrong and they need to be retaught? They'll argue with you, but make sure you show them in the Bible where it's at. They can't argue the Bible. They might, but don't let them argue the Bible. Don't argue the Bible with anybody. The Bible's yes and amen. Okay, and if you don't know where it's at in the Bible, say, I'm going to find it, and I'll be back. All right, then we'll have our discussion. All right, so I said Josiah not only confronted the false gods in his kingdom of Judah, but he brought the charge to the kingdom of Israel and assaulted the places of pagan worship. Neither kingdom escaped judgment for its infidelity to God. See that? But Josiah was heard by God, and he delayed judgment with his repentance and radical obedience. Because of Josiah, God delayed his judgment against those people. Wouldn't you like to be a person that you went, you know, because you prayed that God would delay judgment on somebody, an individual, or even a country, or a town, or a church? Are you listening here? Cleanse the temples and smash the idols. God is raising up temple cleansers and idol smashers in this hour. He is searching the hearts of his people. He is searching the hearts of his people and purifying those who would bow to his will and submit to his instructions. So if you are bowing to God's will, if you're submitting to, you know, if you're submitting to what he's asking you to do, then God is purifying you and God is going to use you in this end time dispensation. I'm hearing God say, don't be tolerant anymore with half truth. It either has to be the whole truth or no truth at all. Quit believing every doctrine that comes your way. He's saying, I know you idolize some people, but don't hold what they say as truth. Get in your word and know the truth for yourself. Amen. Come on. Though generations in one's family may have chosen another god, all it takes is one to change the course of history. Though generations in one's family, you know, your generational curses, may have chosen another god, all it takes is one to change the course of history. It only takes a remnant to hear the instruction and repent on behalf of the land. Do you believe that everybody sits in the church over all of America is going to fast? No. But it just takes a handful. It just takes a remnant. Like God told me one time, he said, daughters, don't worry about who comes and goes. I only need a handful. In fact, I can do it with two, you and me. I can build my kingdom. You know, do you understand that people believe that without them, you can't do anything for God? that you have to have them too, and that's not true. It's just you and God anyhow. And you doing, being obedient to what God's telling you to do and to be following His will. The Father is looking for those who are fearless and faithful revolutionary reformers who will conquer the places surrendered to the devil. Are you guys ready to go out there and take back what the enemy has stolen? Because God said that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be taking back the whatever you allow the enemy to steal, God's going to give it back to you. My cry every day is, devil, get out of my house. I'm taking my house back. I allowed you to come in and steal it, but I'm taking it back. This is my ground, my pea field, not yours. Come on. So what did God say here? The Father's looking for those who are fearless and faithful revolutionary reformers who will conquer the places surrendered to the devil. The Father's heart is turned to those who will rend their hearts for His truth. You're not going to settle for second best. You're not going to go around walking half holy. You can't walk half holy. Amen? Much like today, sin was tolerated and lifted up as a standard to follow. And isn't that what's going on today, guys? While idolatry and evil practices have been welcomed into the church, the call to holiness is touted by many as too costly or unobtainable. How many people do you know that they said you just can't walk holy? I mean, it is not an impossible task, or God wouldn't have asked you to do it. Walking holy really is being very intimate with Jesus. Jesus was holy. If you become intimate with Jesus and you walk with Jesus, then you'll be holy as He is holy. But if you put Jesus on a shelf and just pretend like you're walking with Him, then you're not going to be holy at all. Amen? All right, we have little understanding that holiness is a call to know Jesus. Holiness is a call to know Jesus. Even now it brings tears to my eyes as I hear the Lord saying, sin has been given an altar in my temples, which are my people. You know, we've given sin an altar inside of us. And it brings God to tears. He's so very unhappy with that. I'm hearing Him say He's so very uncomfortable with that. Now, Grace, what if you had a daughter and your daughter went and gave herself to the cross, to that beating and to the cross to save people, and then you watch people spit on her and walk all over? Wouldn't you feel bad? Tear your heart out of it, wouldn't it? That she gave her life so, you know, just so meaningless. It just didn't mean anything. That's why God took away the Holy Spirit for 10 or so years from the churches, because they have trampled on the Holy Spirit, first of all, on His Son's blood long enough, and now they were trampled on the Holy Spirit, mocking, making fun of the Holy Spirit, and He said He was just withdrawing everything. But now He's bringing everything back. And now I want to know where you stand. Now since He's brought it all back, it's going to be much power, much authority. Is it going to kill you when it hits you? Yet stop and think about that. Is it going to kill you when it hits you? Or are you changed? Have you been changing, you know, changing yourself inside, saying, God, get all this junk out of me? And have you been allowing God to rearrange the things in you and around about you, getting rid of your idols in your home? Are you listening? Yeah, I think it's time we go through and clean our houses. I mean, the four walls we live in. Clean our houses and get all the junk out of them. That's what we're doing in our house right now. Everything's gone. Teresa's throwing everything in the trash. And that's good. That was her instruction. The word of God has been forgotten among the barrage of idols in the temples of the Holy One. We need to hear the word of the Lord once again, answering the call to honor His covenant, while saturating ourselves in holiness that only comes through intimacy with Christ. Let's read that again. We need to hear the word of the Lord once again, answering the call to honor His covenant. Do you know that God is very upset when you break a covenant with Him? He only desires covenant keepers. If you're going to make a covenant with God, you better, boy, I mean to tell you, with every fiber of your being, mean every word you say, because if you break that covenant, you are in deep trouble with God. He does not like a covenant breaker, just like he does not like you to break your covenant, your marriage covenant that you make. He does not like that. He gets very upset with that. And people just walk around and say, oh, you know, make covenants all over the place, not even thinking anything of it, not even meaning it, just saying it because it sounds good. You wait. You wait. You and God are going to have a confrontation, and you're not going to like it. All right, I said we need to hear the word of the Lord once again, answering the call to honor his covenant while saturating ourselves in holiness that only comes through intimacy with Christ. I see those who would answer the mandate warring in the spirit, look at that, against every lofty thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it into captivity to obey Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 10:47. What that's saying here is, what God's saying here is, that he can see us bringing everything into captivity to Christ. He can see us setting ourselves free, getting rid of all the junk that's in our lives. All this hate, all this discord, all this misery, all this backbiting, all this slander. Why do you carry all that junk? Have you ever been around anybody, the minute they start talking, their face all twists up, you know? They're so full of hate, they can't even have a conversation because that hate just comes around. I saw that just today, and I said, dear Lord, I couldn't live with myself if I was like that. So much hate in me that, you know, it just comes in. I can't even open my mouth to say anything unless that hate pops right out there and twists me all up. And, you know, and it's awful. Why do you do that? You claim to be a child of God. Well, that's all you're doing is claiming, because if you're really a child of God, that hate would not be in there. That hate would not be in there. That sin would not be in there. Come on. If you're truly intimate with Jesus, let's put it that way. And see, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. What's happened is we've just said to somebody, "Say, repeat this after me." So they repeated it. Now you're born again. Garbage. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm looking at Sister Mary there, and I remember she cried her eyes out, laid her on the floor and cried her eyes. See, that's when you're born again. It's just not, nobody said, repeat after me. We don't do that. You have to repeat after Jesus. Amen. You have to allow Jesus to get a hold of you and transform you. And Brother Al, I'll never forget the first time he ever came in here. He sat right back there, and I was preaching, you know, and everything was packed out. And I kept looking at him. What's the matter with that man? Is he? What's wrong with him? Is he passed out sitting there? He never blinked an eye. He never moved a muscle. The whole service, he just sat there. And I thought, God, what is wrong with him? And then he told me the Spirit of God hit him when he sat down. He couldn't move. You know, I thought he's drunk or something or high, you know, but he just couldn't move. And see, this is what being touched by God is all about. You know, it's just being something, you know, something, a reaction goes on in your body. And then that's when God started working on him. That was 8 years ago, and God's still perfecting. Are y'all listening to this tonight? You have to have that special touch from God, or you're never going to be able to get changed. That's what happened to me when I was young. I didn't know what happened to me until I was 50. That happened when I was about 16. Where are we at here? I see a great move of God where cries of repentance and intercession are on the lips of those who hunger for holiness. We are hungry for him. I see a people remembering the power of the blood of Jesus, the Passover lamb. I see prophetic wrecking balls wiping out idols, smashing them into oblivion. The only way to obliterate idols is to unwaveringly choose Jesus. You can't get rid of any devil inside of you unless you choose Jesus 100%. Now, some of you sitting here, you're under such condemnation. Well, get out of it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're being instructed in the Lord, then you're being instructed in the Lord. And if something's hitting you wrong, then just take it and say, God, something's not right here. Get this out of me. But don't, oh, I'll never make it. There it goes again. I'm still in sin. Well, you will make it if you don't quit. You really will make it if you don't quit. But you have to be instructed. You just can't just be let walk around and sit in church and nobody ever tell you, hey, that's wrong in your life. Are you listening here? God sends the word forth. And then if it hits you, then you're supposed to do something with it. All right? Whatever has our affections has our worship. Amen. I see Josiah as being raised up with the sanction of consecration in their stride. That means us. We are Josiahs, right? And we're being raised up with the sanction of consecration in our stride. It is not based on a haughty attitude, but confidence found in a personal identity in Christ. You know, I tell you all, you have to know that you know that you know that you belong to God. You have to know that you know that you know that you're called of God. And if you know that you know that you know, those things in the devil can't take you out. And how do you know that you know that you know that you're called of God? Just because you are. He formed you. He loves you. And any lie you've been believing is a lie. If you believe in anything other than that God loves you, then you've been believing a lie. God formed you in your mother's womb. He breathed his breath into your nostrils when you came out. He's been leading, guiding, and directing you. I know that you didn't always follow, but, you know, you found your little mud pies and got back up again, right? So don't quit thinking about that and move on. Move on. There isn't one of us sitting in here tonight that we have not done something we wish we wouldn't have done. Not a one of us. And that means me. I'm one of us. But you know, we don't stay there, do we? We don't die and wallow in that mess. We pour ourselves up and we go on. We dust ourselves up and we go on in Christ. God is able to deliver us from anything that Satan has placed in our path. And I don't care what your sin nature was or maybe still is. God is able to raise you up out of that mess. And this is the time he's going to do it. And he's been telling me that suddenly he's just going to come through and just wipe churches right out, you know, the sin out of people. That he's just going to come in with his glory and the devils are just going to scream and run out of the people. Now, I believe God. I do believe God. And he said, we're going to walk around. We are going to be holy vessels. Our lights are going to be so bright that we will dispel all darkness. Just not some of it, but all darkness. Now, you can either believe that truth or you can believe the lie you've been sitting in for 50 years, 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, however, 16, 12. I would rather believe the truth of God's word than to believe the lie I've been believing. Now, aren't you going to feel awful foolish when you stand in hell and the devil stand there laughing at you because you believed his lie and wouldn't believe Jesus, wouldn't believe Jesus' people? You're going to feel awful stupid. I pray every day, God, please don't let me sin and go to hell. I really don't want to go to hell. Do you know what kind of heyday Satan would have with me in hell? He would torment me to no end. Did you ever stop to think about that, you guys, are sitting in the house of God? You know, you're really just serving God with one leg and the other leg, you're trying to find someplace else to put it. And if you die and go into hell, Satan is going to torment you to no end because you had the gall to sit in the house of God. Come on, you can't serve the devil and serve God. There's just no way you can do that. All right, God hears those who would weep and repent on behalf of a nation, and in his mercy, he delays judgment so that others may rise up to love him and to defy the enemy. Now, nation is anybody, any peoples that you're praying for. And God is saying right now, and he's been telling, I'm not what I read, it's what he's been telling me, that he's going to save whole households. He's going to save marriages. He's going to save relationships that look like they could never be put back together. He's going to save them. And then other relationships that thought was going to always be together, he's going to separate because of hidden sin. So what are you going to believe tonight? Are you going to believe the truth? Or are you going to believe the lie? You're sitting back there as a family. You have, three children to raise? Two or three, you know, are you, what kind of example are you going to be to those three children? Do you understand? Are you going to be loving parents? Are you going to love your children? Are you going to teach them of the word? You know, God said he's going to hold us responsible for how we raise our children because they're his children. He told me he just gives them to us on assignment to raise, and then we're going to be judged how we raised them. Some of you die right this second, you wouldn't fare too well, would you? You'd be in deep trouble. Amen? Come on. God is trying to raise up people who are being strong in the Lord and who are no longer going to want to be devil worshipers, idol worshipers, whatever you want to call it. He's trying to raise up strong towers that others can run into. It's wonderful that our church is now. If you really want to feel the Spirit of God, if you really want to hear a word from God, go to the Lighthouse, because they walk in His Spirit. The Spirit of God is in there, and the words they give are true. It's wonderful for that. But you know what? I want to see your life changed. I just don't want you to get a prophetic word telling you what God's going to do for you, and you take it home and lay it up with the other 200 you have and just say, that was good for tonight. We need to be changed. And our lights need to shine. And we have to have those rivers of living water pouring out of us, that power and that authority, so that if you're sitting there and the devil comes and says beside you and somebody, it won't feel comfortable. It wants to get up and go. Somebody came in here Sunday and said, I can't sit in this church. No way. They went out and sat in their car till the other half was done. That's wonderful, because that devil and them could not stand the anointing in that chair they were sitting in. This is where your home should be too. Your home should be so anointed when people come into you that's demonic, they should not feel comfortable in your home. Used to be when anybody come into my home, they would say to my grandkids, your grandmother scares me to death. I can't come in here. There's something about her that I don't want to be around her. She won't hurt you. I don't want to be around her. What was saying that them devils in them were saying that. They still say that. They could not stand the anointing. That devil could not be around that anointing. How strong is your anointing? How strong is it? Does the devil have a field day with you all the time? If somebody comes and wants to put you down, do they have the right to do that? In other words, nothing shows up to stop them? Think about this for a minute. How strong is the anointing in you? Can it stop the enemy from coming against you and wreaking havoc in your life? When people want to do you evil, can they go ahead and do evil against you? Or is there such a strong anointing in you that they know they cannot cross that line? Has God said to you, I've drawn a line in the sand and the enemy can't come across it, the enemy can't hurt you no more? Are you listening here, father and mother and whoever else, sister, brothers? Are you listening? God wants your anointing to be stronger tonight than it ever has been in your entire life. And he wants it to increase daily. He does not want it to wane. You know, when you walk in the Spirit all the time, it's sort of hard because you wonder, do I even, God, are you even with me? You know, I want to feel something stronger, God. Well, you've got all I can give you without killing you, exploding you. But you know, you do, you want to feel something more, but you already have it all, and all you have to do is just use it. So if some of you are sitting in here like that, just walk out there and just use it. And whenever you do that, just watch and see what God does. Don't think, well, I'm empty. If you're really walking holy, walking with God, with Jesus, and being intimate with Jesus, then you've got something in you. Some sort of power, use it. When you're out on the street, I used to do this all the time. Whenever I used to walk up to people when I was out working in the community and evangelizing, I just said, I would just take and put my hand on their shoulder or just shake their hand. And as I did that to myself, as I release every bit of power that's in me, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. If they need healed, let them be healed. If there's devils in there, kick the devils out. I do that all the time. And it works. It works. I knew I had power and authority. Do you know you have power and authority? See, that's where we miss God. We don't realize we have power and we have authority and we don't use it. Tonight, God just wants to fill you up to overflowing with His power and His authority. And He doesn't want you to, once you get it, to lose it. He wants you to every day say, God, increase what I got last night. Increase. Every day just say, God, increase it. Just keep saying it till you're so full you can't stand up. Come on. You know, you should be so full of the anointing that you have a hard time walking even in your own house. You'd be walking, all of a sudden you go like this here, because the anointing in you is just so strong, you just about fall down. That's the way it works. And I know some of you walk in that. Well, increase it so that you have to crawl around. You can't walk. Amen? Come on. Come on now. Y'all be walking in my house and you talk to one of the kids and all of a sudden the back get knocked down. They say, you all right, Mom? You all right? And they think I'm going to pat. No, I'm fine. You know? And I'm just saying, God, just hit me stronger the next time. Because I don't know about you, but I love feeling the hitting of the anointing. I love it. That assures me that I'm still God's child. That assures me that I'm still on the right road. And all of you in here tonight, God wants to do that to you too. He wants to give you, he wants to touch you so that you have a surety of heart that you know, that you know, that you know. And I'm just believing, you know, it used to be when people got up, they had to be carried to their car. And I believe that some of you won't, when you're riding home tonight, you're going to have a hard time maneuvering. And I believe whenever you go in your bedroom, you're trying to get undressed, you're trying to stand up at the same time. So if you want that anointing, come on up here tonight. And God wants, I'm hearing God say he wants to intervene in your life. No matter what the enemy's been doing in your life or telling you, he wants to intervene. And he wants to give you all power and all authority. Come on. Come on, you want to be carriers of this power. Be carriers of this power. That's it. Come on, just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. You're a carrier of the power. You know what you can also do? Just say, God, as I walk by that person, let them be slain in the spirit, because that'll happen. Let the anointing just jump out of you and hit that person, and down they go. Tell the holy angels to catch them as they fall. I mean, this is how it works. This is really how it works. Give this to Larry. This is how it works. How many of you really want that kind of anointing? Hold your hands up right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I want all power and all authority to be sent down from the throne of grace. And I want it to touch your people right now, Father God. Fill them right now, Father God, with your power and your authority. Fill them, Father God, with the fire and the lightning right now. Fill them, Father God, with the anointing that destroys every yoke right now. And Father God, I thank you and I praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we give you all honor and all glory. I thank you, Father God. And holy angels of God, I want you to go around right now. Touch those that are still sitting in their seats. Touch them with a special touch. And Father God, as they are being touched, you touch them and you give them an extra dose of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' holy mighty name. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it, Father. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.